So we're going to talk about the best debut movie performances ever. And this could also be, for some people, though, you might not, maybe not sure whether it's this actor or actress's first movie, but maybe the first time you went, whoa! So we'll add that to the mix. But yeah, best debut movie performances of all time. Dan, did you have any?
My guy, Tom Hardy, in Inception. I remember being very excited for the movie after hearing your review of it. My friends Adrian Hazel actually went to see it with us when they heard, even though they had seen it the night before. And so I was just really, really psyched for it and really looking forward to it. And it was a packed house and just a really cool vibe. And then he showed up on screen and I'm like, who is that guy?
Right.
I mean, I just could not believe my eyes. And then
like
searched out all his other stuff and just, I mean, that he did such a magnificent job with the character, but I remember purposely stopping and just kind of looking
at
Adrian. He's being like, that guy, what's up with that guy? You
know, he's great. He's great. That was a great performance too. That was a really great performance. And Esmeralda, obviously your choice for best first performance ever
is Edward Norton. Primal Fear.
Yeah. In Primal Fear. And you'll be happy to know that on this survey from IndieWire critics, that the most critics chose that one.
Yeah, because it's the best.
And he's amazing in that movie. And I remember that I did the same thing when I first saw that movie. I was like, wait a minute, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah. Let the record show, he was robbed of that Oscar.
Who won that year? It's 96, so it would be...
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, it was Cuba Gooding Jr., wasn't it?
Stupid Show Me the Money.
Yeah. Not as good, not nearly. I mean, I thought Cuba Gooding was great and Jerry Maguire, but not a, who were the other nominees? Dan, can you look that up? It would be Best Supporting Actor in 1996, so they were handed out in 97. Cuba Gooding Jr. was, I mean, he was the odds-on favorite to win, and I think one of the reasons that, because a lot of, you know, Esmeralda, as you know, a lot of first-time nominees don't win.
Right.
Because it was his first movie, so clearly it was his first nomination.
He was so good.
Oh, he was amazing in it.
Your other nominees were William H. Macy for Fargo.
Oh, he was good in that, though.
Armin Mueller-Stahl in Shine. Mm. And James Woods in Ghosts of Mississippi.
No. I mean, William H. Macy was amazing, though. That was a great... For William H. Macy, Edward Norton, and Cuba Gooding were both... All three of those guys were really good. The other two, not so much. James Woods got nominated for Ghosts of Mississippi? I don't know. What? Wow. Yeah, no, the first time I saw it, I was like, who is this guy? I want to mention one of your other favorites, or at least one of your favorites from, you know, the early days, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
DiCaprio.
Oh, yes.
When I first saw him in this boy's life, I had never seen him on any of the TV shows he was on. He was on one of those, which one was he on? Silver Spoons or one of those?
Growing Pains.
Okay. I didn't know who the hell this kid was. And I saw This Boy's Life and I was like, whoa. Like going toe to toe with De Niro in that movie. And have you seen that movie, Esmeralda?
This Boy's Life, yeah.
Oh, man, he's good in it. Yeah, that was one of those performances and he was just a kid then. And then like his next movie was What's Eating Gilbert Grape? And I was like, "Who? What is this? Where did this guy come from? What? He was amazing in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, and Basketball Diaries.
He was great in that. He's great in everything.
And in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. And he's gone on. And here's the weird thing. Like, he's been nominated a bunch of times. And as much as I love The Revenant, and I loved him in The Revenant, they gave him that one because he got, you know, he's been skipped over so many times.
He had to get mauled by a bear.
He got mauled by a bear. He was out in the cold. You know what I mean? Like, it was a good performance, but it's not one of DiCaprio's best performances. I don't think. I think he should have won for The Aviator. He was unbelievable in The Aviator. He was spectacularly good in that movie. And I know a lot of people loved him in Wolf of Wall Street. Not a big fan of that movie, but I know a lot of people loved him in that. He was nominated for that, didn't win. So they're like, all right, look, he got mauled by a bear and he was cold. So give him an Oscar. But no, that first time when I saw This Boy's Life, it's like, wow. No idea who this kid was, and he was toe-to-toe with De Niro. Every bit as good as De Niro was in that movie. He matched him. He was so good in that movie. I love that movie. Ugh. I've never gotten around to reading the book. I wanted to read the book, a memoir that it's based on, but I never got around to reading it. I should probably do that, considering the movie's 25 years old now. So that might be time to try and read that book. Tobias Wolff, author's name, based on his life. And
Tobias sounds familiar.
I think it's Tobias Wolff, author of This Boy's Life. I'm positive the first name is Tobias. Is it Tobias Wolff?
Yeah.
Okay. I should probably get on that.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
I've been saying to myself for 25 years now, ever since I saw the movie, I really would like to read the memoir. He actually made the rounds when the movie came out. They sent him out, Tobias Wolff, and Roy interviewed him. I'm trying to remember if Roy interviewed DiCaprio. I think DiCaprio actually did the publicity tour with Tobias Wolff. So they were going, you know, because he played him. So mm-hmm. I think they were doing interviews together. And I'm not positive that DiCaprio was with him, but I know that Tobias Wolff did Roy's show. So, and Roy loved that movie too. We were sitting next to each other and just going, whoa, this kid. Whoa. So, anyway. How about, let's see, we're looking at some of the choices here from the IndieWire critics. By the way, your favorite debut performance ever, but Dan picked a guy who had already made movies, but Inception was the movie where he went, who the hell is this guy? So it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a debut performance of a first movie. It could just be performances that, where you really noticed this actor or actress and went, well, I'm going to have to follow this person's career.
Had he done Batman already?
Had who done Batman?
No, not yet.
What's his name?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy? No. Inception.
What had been his...
He did...
a movie called Bronson.
Bronson, oh, okay. Which he was amazing
was
in.
Was that here? Or was that an overseas movie?
It was an overseas... Well, it was filmed overseas.
Yeah, it's an Australian movie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So he hadn't broken through.
Oh, no. He had made movies before. We know, like, Vic picked one. I was talking to him in the newsroom earlier. And Vic picked one where, like, he picked Brad Pitt in Thelma and Louise. That was Vic's choice. But that Thelma and Louise was not his first movie, but that was the first time anybody noticed him. He had done three or four movies before that, a couple of low-budget comedies and some stupid stuff, and he appeared on a couple of TV shows. But the breakthrough performance where everybody went, whoa, was Thelma and Louise, even though he had been in other movies. But Tom, I'm trying to think of what other movies Tom Hardy...
He was the bad guy in one of the Star Trek movies.
Right.
He was in Layer Cake.
Oh, God, that was a good movie.
It was a very good movie.
Yeah. That's Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig and Tom Hardy were in the same movie? Wow. How did the building not explode? Wow. Holy crap! Wow. Oh, I was just thinking what you mentioned Inception. I just forgot DiCaprio's in Inception.
Yep.
And he was great in that movie. That's a really underrated performance. You know, a lot of people, when you think of Inception, and it's interesting that you latched on to a performance in that movie, because it's a movie that is so overwhelming that you don't really notice how good the performance is until about the third or fourth time you've seen it.
Yeah.
Because when I first saw it, it wasn't the performances that stood out. It was just the movie and the concept.
Well, yeah,
and how
the fact that Paris was folding over itself.
I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. And the ending of Inception? Come on! And it wasn't until I saw it three or four times, I was like, you know, all the performances are really good. DiCaprio's great in it. It's a really, really good performance. So, all right, we are talking about best movie debut performances of all time, or just best performances that you noticed the actor and went, uh-oh, this guy's great. Like Tom Hardy in Inception or Brad Pitt in Thelma and Louise. So it's funny, you know, whenever somebody like breaks through, they do a breakthrough performance, then they start pulling these crappy movies out and re-releasing them. Because I remember Brad Pitt did like this, I can't remember what it was called, but after Thelma and Louise came out, they released this movie. It was a bad, terrible, like college teen sex comedy thing where he was like a surfer or something, and they were like, hey, and they released it. I don't know if they released it theatrically, but they released it on video, and it was like Maybe Brad Pitt had a supporting role in it, but it was like his face on the cover of the thing.
Yeah.
The name Brad Pitt, huge star of Thelma and Louise. You know, that you got to take advantage of it while the poker is hot, you know? All right. We got a break here for weather and traffic, and then we'll come back. Best debut performances and 312-981-7200. Wildcard Wednesday, everybody.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. David requesting Mike and the Mechanics with Silent Running. That's right. That was their only hit, Mike and the Mechanics.
Oh, no. What was that other one?
Did they have another hit?
Yeah, I think it was... I want to say it was them, but I remember young Dan and his mom listening to 100.3, and they played it constantly.
Oh, okay. You're probably right. I just, you know, Mike Rutherford is the Mike of Mike and the Mechanics, and he had a lot of hits because he's in Genesis.
All I Need is a Miracle.
Oh, yeah. All I Need is a Miracle. All I Need is You. Wow. Mike and the Mechanics, everybody. Hi, welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about the best debut movie performances of all time. IndieWire critics did a survey and had the critics from IndieWire pick their favorite performances of people who were making their film debut. Now, here's one that's mind-blowing. That Esmeralda, this is a mind-blowing one. Alan Rickman's first movie was Die Hard.
Really?
Always blows my mind. Because he was not a young man when he made that movie.
Well, and you would think they'd want a big name for a villain.
Yeah. And he got the part. I can't remember, you know, I remember hearing interviews or reading interviews with Rickman saying that he had there was a lot, like you said, Esmeralda, there was a lot of stiff competition for it. And he got it. And he had mostly been a stage actor at that point. He'd just been a stage actor. And I still can't believe that that's, that is one of the best film debuts of all time. I mean, he essentially now, Hans Gruber is one of the greatest villains in movie history. Like, when you think amazing, memorable, incredible villains in every movie or any movie, Hans Gruber is mentioned near the top all the time. And that's because he's unbelievable in it. But it always boggles my mind that was his first movie. That was his first movie. Like, Alan Rickman's first movie was Die Hard. You want to talk about knocking the ball out of the park your first at bat? Really, I think it's on the level, Esmeralda. I think that's like near and on the level as on the level of Edward Norton in Primal Fear. It's that kind of thing where you see it and you go, this guy's incredible. And, you know, and it ended up being an iconic part. And then he ended up playing a lot of villains. Like, after that, it was like, because he was so great as Hans Gruber, it was like the go-to guy to play. Like, he was the Sheriff of Nottingham in the Robin Hood movie. He was Professor Snape in the Harry Potter series. So good in the Harry Potter series. But Snape doesn't necessarily... Snape's a villain and then not, kind of. You know what I mean? That's the thing about Snape. It's such a great role for him. So, let's see. Here is Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
All right.
I think, you know, after all the... I'm 60 years old after seeing many, many, many movies. One of the most breathtaking performances I ever saw was Scarlett Johansson in Lost in Translation.
Yeah,
I didn't know where she was from or who she was. I just thought, my God, she's beautiful.
Yeah. No, that was a breakthrough role for her as an adult. But she had done movies. She did movies as a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in... Actually, the first thing that I remember her, and I don't know if it was her first movie or not, but she was a kid in The Horse Whisperer. She was... Dan, can you look up and see if that was her first movie, Scarlett Johansson's first movie? She was just a little kid in that movie. Robert Redford directed it and was in it, and she played the kid in Horse Whisperer. And she was really amazing in that.
Well, she growed up real well.
Oh, my God, please. Yes, she did. All right, Scott, thank you.
And wait, Mike and the Mechanics also had that song, The Living Years.
Oh, The Living Years. That's right. They had three hits. Look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yep. Scott, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
She had smaller roles in North.
Oh, right. She was in North. And which one?
Just Cause.
I don't know what that... Oh, Just Cause, is that with Holly Berry? No. No, no, no. Demi Moore?
Sean Connery and Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay, that wasn't even close. That wasn't even close. My guess, those actresses that I picked weren't even close. She was also fantastic in Ghost World. She was great in Ghost World. Those were all before Lost in Translation. We all know how awesome she is now, but she was terrific. If you go back and watch The Horse Whisperer, she was just a kid, and it's a great, great performance. So, all right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take a break, and the news will be up next. Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200. I don't remember that at all, but 847 area code requested the theme to The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, which is one of those fantastic live-action Disney movies. That one starring Kurt Russell. He's the computer that wore tennis shoes. Because he, like, I don't know what they did to him. They did some sort of experiment, and then he got real smart. And he was, like, smarter than a computer. But he wore tennis shoes. That was one of the classic live-action crap movies from Disney. That theme was pretty spectacular. I don't remember that at all. Who the hell, 847 area code, did person remembered that? Wow. All right. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wednesday morning, Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5 a.m. and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we are here till 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. We are talking about the best debut movie performances of all time, or if it wasn't the debut of the actor or actress, it was a performance where you went, who's that? They're amazing. Oh, my God. 312-981-7200. Some text here. 301 area code says, how about debuts that would, actors that would like to probably forget? Tom Hanks and He Knows You're Alone. Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks was, He Knows You're Alone was, a slasher movie that came out during the height of the slasher movie genre. And Dan, I think it was, if you can look it up, it was 1981, I want to say. And it was 1980. Okay. I remember I was in high school and it came out during that whole period where it was nothing but slasher movies coming out. And Tom Hanks was in that. He talks about it though. You know, he admits it. He's like, yeah, I was in He Knows You're Alone. Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun. Well, we all have seen Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun. But that's pretty legendary. And isn't there a rumor that, like, if you see Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun, that she clearly had a nose job?
Yeah, it is pretty.
It looks
pretty pronounced.
Yeah. So if you, like, compare her, you know, to what she looks like in Friends, or what she looks like now, as opposed to what she looked like in Leprechaun, she looked like she had a little work done on.
She makes fun of it in Friends.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, when they do like a flashback to being in high school,
mm-hmm.
Her and Monica, she's got that nose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I must have been offset.
Yeah.
When they did that episode.
I think that's after you had left.
That was after I had left.
Isn't that why you left? You're like, hey, what's up with your nose?
What's going on with your schnoz?
At the audition. And
that's right.
She smacked you.
And then I left. 301 area code says George C. Scott was nominated for an Oscar for just his third film with The Hustler. Yeah. Listen, here's the thing. George C. Scott ruled the planet. He was just one of the greatest actors of all time. And I have to say, I you know, his performance in Dr. Strangelove is one of the funniest comedic performances of all time. And the fact that he went on, you know, he didn't do many comedies. I think maybe, you know, of the ton of movies that he made, I give a handful of them were comedic. But I'm really kind of surprised that after Dr. Strangelove, he didn't do anything but comedies. Because he's absolutely hysterical in that movie. Ezra, have you seen Dr. Strangelove?
I haven't.
It's because, you know, George C. Scott, when you think George C. Scott, you think Patton, you know, you think big, dramatic actor. But he is insanely funny in Dr. Strangelove. It's one of my favorite comedic performances ever. 773 area code says, how about Ellen Page in Juno? Yeah, that was her breakout role, but she was in a movie. I don't know if the movie. Hey, Dan, could you look up Ellen Page? Because she was in a film called Hard Candy.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Oh, it's a terrific movie. And Patrick Wilson was in it.
Yes.
And that was, I don't know if that was her first movie, but it was before Juno.
They've got a few before that. First one is something called Marion Bridge, then uh-huh. Touch and Go. That was 2003, and then she did a bunch of small roles, and then Hard Candy was 2005.
Yeah. Hard Candy, if you haven't seen it, a lot of people haven't seen that movie. It's pretty great. It's intense. And they're both great in it. And it's essentially just a two-person show, Esmeralda. You know, you've seen it. Essentially just him and her. And it's an intense movie. Really. And she's terrific in it. So, yeah, but Juno was her big breakout, obviously. She got nominated for an Academy Award for it. And she's great in Juno. It's a wonderful performance. Hey, you know what other movie she's in, Dan?
Inception.
She's in Inception, yes. I think it all goes back to Inception.
Because a lot of people, first time they saw, Joseph Gordon-Levitt outside of Third Rock was Brick. And
I remember the first time I saw Brick, I was like, oh. Now, I mentioned that, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I've mentioned this before, was in Halloween H2O. And the screening that I saw it, when he gets killed, when Michael Myers smashes an ice skate into his, a hockey skate into his face, kills him with the blade of a hockey skate, the audience applauded. I guess I didn't know that people disliked him, or at least I wasn't aware. I mean, I'd watched Third Rock from the Sun because it's a funny show. And, I mean, he didn't annoy me on that show or anything. Did he annoy you, Esmeralda, on that show?
No, but I could see it.
Yeah.
Because he was a teenager. He was a smarmy teenage boy.
Yeah. But boy, I'll tell you, the audience in the H2O, they were so glad to see him get killed. It was ridiculous. He's got a hockey skate sticking out of the middle of his face, and everybody's like, yeah!
And they might just love violence.
Yeah, I don't think but they didn't cheer at all for the rest of during any of the other killings. That was the one where they got all, like, they were very happy about him having a skate blade busted into his face. All right, let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we got more of the best debut movie performances of all time, or just great performances that stand out for you that were breakthrough roles. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and I want to thank the IndieWire critics for doing this, and Don Shanahan for sharing it, who's a critic here in Chicago. And this is a brand new one. And also on this list, it's a brand new, Dan. As you know, Elsie Fisher from 8th grade made the list.
Yeah, I saw that.
She is amazing in that movie. Amazing. So that's the newest breakthrough first role, you know, that really is amazing. So, all right, we got a break here for weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And it's a Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Tom requested a little Otis Redding. Hard to Handle. There you go. Welcome back. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We've been talking about the best debut movie performances of all time. IndieWire critics did a survey of a bunch of critics who are part of IndieWire. And they were choosing some of the other movie debuts, and we've been talking about best movie debut performances of all time, plus great performances that made the person break through, even if it wasn't their very first movie. Let's see. We got some texts coming in. 815 area code says, breakout performance, Sigourney Weaver and Alien. That's a good choice. It's a very, very, very good choice. 952 area code says, I was so impressed with Shirley MacLaine in The Trouble with Harry when I was 13 and later in Irma LaDuce that when I went on a blind date in 1964 and met someone with her same looks and attitude, it was love at first sight. We've been married for 51 years. Wow. 312, great film debuts, Sidney Greenstreet in The Maltese Falcon and John Houseman in The Paper Chase. Steve says, I'm not sure if it was his first movie, but Philip Seymour Hoffman in the movie Hard Eight. No, Philip Seymour Hoffman had made movies for a while before that. He was in, he's great in Hard Eight. Hard Eight's fantastic. He was in What's that? He was into, well, Talented Mr. Ripley was with the, what I think that's one of the, that was the same year, by the way. Talented Mr. Ripley was the same year as Magnolia. It was a good year for him. But he was in that, if I'm not mistaken, that movie where Brendan Fraser, what the hell was the name of that movie? It was a private school, and there were a bunch of racists. And
School Ties?
School Ties, yeah, I think it's called School Ties. And I think he was a student in that. He was also in, hoo-ah, I'm going to take a flamethrower to this place. Blind Al Pacino, screaming. The Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman.
He was in that, too. Was he in School Ties or am I nuts?
I'm not seeing it on his IMDb.
I must be wrong.
The first movie I see is a movie called My New Gun.
Uh-huh.
With Diane Lane. And then the first kind of bigger movie was Leap of Faith with Steve Martin.
Okay. All right. But I remember he was in, I'm screaming, I'm blind.
He was George Willis Jr.
Right.
That was his third film.
Okay. Such a great actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Ugh. Javon in Dallas says, great breakthrough performance was Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, but his first movie was Space Jam. Wow. Well, as Esmeralda informed us earlier, you can still go to the Space Jam website if you... It's still up and running. The original Space Jam website is still up and running.
It'll be interesting if they leave it when the LeBron jersey comes out next
right.
year.
Right. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station, that was a great performance. He's terrific, that guy. He's a terrific actor. You know, I gotta say, I'm not thrilled about the fact that they've made Creed 2. You know, I was like, no, don't do that. Don't turn this into, you know, like, don't make the sequels, and like, when the returns kept getting worse and worse on the Rocky sequels. Don't do that, because Creed is such a great movie. But then I saw the trailer, and I'm like, oh. the whole idea, when I heard, Dan, you know what the plot is, right?
Of Creed or the
Creed 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have heard.
I mean, he fights Ivan Drago's son. What are we doing here? I mean, what? But then I saw the trailer, and I went, well, I would like to see that. Has mostly to do with the fact that Michael B. Jordan is amazing. And I still think Sylvester Stallone should have won the Academy Award for Creed. I really do. Like, sincerely think that he got robbed. Mark Rylance. Although Mark Rylance is really good in The Bridge of Spies. And he's a terrific actor. But what else we got? Lulu says, not a debut, but a breakout performance was Charlize Theron in Monster. I'm not going to discuss my thoughts on that movie because she's Furiosa now, so it's everything is forgiven. Because I hated her in Monster. I hated that movie, and I hated that performance. 815 says, what about Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone? You know what? Was that? I think that was her first movie. If not, small. She was incredible. I remember she was incredible in Winter's Bone. Such a great performance. Jessica Chastain and Hardy in Lawless. You know, it was funny because Jessica Chastain, nobody knew who she was because she made these movies that were on the shelf for a long time. Like, she made, you know, she was in a Terrence Malick movie, and it takes him 26 years to finish a movie. So when Tree of Life came out finally, there were three other movies that were in the can and then a couple that she had just finished. So I remember seeing an interview with her. Nobody knew who the hell she was. Like, when Tree of Life came out, nobody knew who Jessica Chastain was. And then seven other Jessica Chastain movies came out a month later. And she's like, I apologize. She was on a talk show going, listen, I apologize for this. These movies were made, a few years ago, and they said, like, at least three movies sat on the shelf for a bunch of years. And then they all came out. And she's like, look, I know you're probably sick of me already. You don't know who I am, but you're already sick of me. I could never get sick of Jessica Chastain. I love her. Oren says, Greer Garson and Goodbye, Mr. Chips. She was charming as the love interest. She eventually won an Oscar. Tom in London. Oh, listening to us from London. Thank you, Tom. The first time I saw Chadwick Boseman, now famous for Marvel's Black Panther, was a bit part in an episode of Fringe. He just jumped out at me because he was giving this guest role his all and acting everyone else off the screen, including his show's stars. I remember looking him up and was surprised to see that he didn't have any big roles yet, and I kept it in mind for years. So when he hit it big on the big screen, and Black Panther especially, I was super happy for him. That's pretty cool. When you're, you know, when you're watching something, you go, let's look up who this person is. Now, in the past, you'd have to know the Dewey Decimal System and the directions to the correct library. But you can look up people immediately on IMDb and go, who's this actor? So some of the ones that are IndieWire critics have picked, Julie Andrews and Mary Poppins.
I was stunned when I read that. I did not realize
that. I didn't either. I don't think I realized that that was her first movie. Wow, what a first movie, right? Incredibly iconic. Being remade this year with Emily Blunt, which I think is great casting, by the way. I think Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins is great casting. Gael Garcia Bernal in Amoros Perros, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. And he was terrific in that movie. Was that, that was before Y Tu Mama Tambien? I guess it was, because Amoros Perros was 2000, I guess, or 2001?
2000.
And then Y Tu Mama Tambien was 2001, was right after that, right? Wasn't it?
2001.
Okay. So back to back right there. Nice job. All right. Okay, we have to break, and then we'll wrap this up. You guys want to jump in, call us. It's 312-981-7200. We're talking about best debut movie performances of all time, or just simply incredible performances that broke through and were huge. And we'll do the news coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. 815 area code requesting M with pop music, which is spelled M-U-Z-I-K. And I'm not, I don't know why. So there you go. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Steve Grzanich coming up just at 5 o'clock with the opening bell, and my main man Steve Cochran at 6 for Morning Drive. We've been talking about the best debut movie performances of all time, or great first performances where you notice this person. And we've been getting a lot of interesting ones here from the IndieWire survey, the IndieWire critics survey. James Dean in East of Eden. And then we mentioned Elsie Fisher right now, who's in this movie Eighth Grade, and she's incredible in it. A great performance. A really, really great performance. Let's see. Somebody chose Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls. She won an Oscar for that. That's another subcategory.
First-time Oscar.
First-time role, first-time Oscar. Like role.
Suck you know? It, American Idol.
Yeah. Did she lose on that? Or was
she didn't make. She didn't win.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she didn't win.
I think I watched that series. Who won that season?
Bull beats me. A nobody.
Was it a, was it that Taylor guy who had gray hair even though he was 30?
Oh.
Remember that guy? Yeah. Hey, how you doing? How's everybody doing?
Yeah.
What the hell was that guy's name?
I
Taylor.
I met him once.
What, you met him?
Yeah, with Brandmeier.
Oh, he was... Brandmeier had him on?
I think so. I want to say. We had on a American Idol winner. I forget who.
Oh,
I
want right.
to say it was him.
Yeah. Taylor, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Hi, dude. How's it going, everybody?
Wow.
He had crazy gray. He looked like he was 60 years old.
Or it was, who was the big dude? Clay
Ruben,
Aiken Ruben's, came in.
Ruben. Yeah. Ruben.
Stuttered.
Ruben Stuttered, who beat Clay Aiken.
Yeah.
That was like the second season, if I'm not mistaken.
I just remember she didn't win. And then I was like, ha, she told them.
Yeah, I don't know who...
Fantasia won.
Oh, no, oh, no. She's man. Not nearly as good as Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson...
I mean, nobody has done well except, you know, first
Kelly,
one.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
And Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Is,
oh, she won.
Yeah.
They're the only two out of how many seasons?
Right. Taylor Hicks.
Oh, there that's his you name. Go. Taylor, how's it going, everybody? Yeah.
Nobody has had the major success
yeah.
except those two.
Jordan Sparks, David Cook.
That is one.
Yeah, Jordan Sparks, David Cook. I can't even remember David Cook.
Yeah, he looks like
what about the Dave everybody. Matthews guy? Phillips.
Ugh.
I loved that guy. Jeez. I thought that guy was great.
That wasn't his real name, was it?
Philip Phillips, yeah.
His parents had the, really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
He was the Dave Matthews guy. I was like, hey, I like that guy. He's Dave Matthews.
It's like your parents just don't like you.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. They were actually
Philip Phillips.
They were going to name me DiGilio.
DiGilio, DiGilio.
Yeah, that's what they were.
Diggy DiGilio.
Diggy DiGilio.
Season 3 also featured William Hung.
Oh, well, right. There you go.
He was strong contender.
Yeah, he was a strong. I personally think that Pants on the Ground should have been
right.
The winner.
Yeah.
Whatever season that was.
Yeah.
Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
Season 9.
Season 9?
I do think I'd take General Larry Platt over Lee DeWise.
I don't even remember. I remember him. Yeah. I remember Lee DeWise.
Do you have long hair?
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't
the dude with long hair, that one guy with the. What about Daughtry? Did he win? Or did he.
No, that was another one.
There's another one. He sold a ton of records, that
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. No, it's funny how they've completely missed
yeah.
the people who actually have been successful.
You know, when Kelly Clarkson was on, because I didn't really. I got into it late. I mean, I started watching it.
I watched that first season.
I watched all of them. I stopped, I think, when it switched. I didn't watch it just now on ABC.
Mm hmm.
But I think it was like when the judges were people I didn't care, like when you know it was like people that I thought were morons as judges.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. And you know, Paula Abdul was drunk all the time, and I loved that. And I loved Simon. I thought Simon was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
me too.
And what's his name? Jackson. The big dude.
Dog.
Randy.
There you go.
Loved him too. And so I really got but there were. There were a lot of, I enjoyed watching that show. I never voted.
Yeah.
But I did watch.
The one that I slightly liked was Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj.
That was fun.
As a judge.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun because they hate each other.
They did.
That was so much fun to watch. Yeah. No, I enjoyed that. I watched that. That was one of the reasons why I kept watching that season.
Do you remember the one where Nicki was late?
Yeah.
She couldn't even get makeup done, and Mariah's just looking at her like, mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. And then I thought Steven Tyler was kind of fun to watch when he was when he was a judge on there. But yeah. Where's Dunkelman? What happened to Dunkelman? Remember Dunkelman?
Brian Dunkelman.
Brian Dunkelman was the co-host with Ryan Seacrest of season 1. And he was like, I'm not going to do this show anymore. I don't need it anymore. I'm Dunkelman.
I'm going back to the 1930s.
That's right. I don't need you people anymore. I'm going to go to a speakeasy.
What did he do?
Dunkelman?
He went down like a downward spiral because he missed out.
He's like, he voluntarily left. He's like, I don't want to do this show anymore. Like, okay. It was a phenomenon at that point. Like the first season, it took off.
I mean, they probably would have gotten rid of him. They probably would have just seen, like, why do we need two people?
Why do we need Dunkelman?
Yeah.
I miss Dunkelman. Let's get Dunkelman on the show, Dan. Can we call Dunkelman?
He's got to be doing something.
He's sweeping up somewhere now.
Oh, no.
He does stand up regularly at the Laugh Factory in Improv.
No, Dunkelman. What? Comedian Dunkelman.
There you go.
And I bet half his material is about how stupid he was to have left American Idol. I bet that's got to be his hook, right? As a stand-up, that's got to be your hook.
I'm sure he has a good story.
I'm sure there's a chunk of his material is dedicated to that, because he has to acknowledge that.
He pitched a TV series in 2009 called American Dunkelman, a fictional account of the actor's comic life, following him as he tried to get back into the TV industry.
He had to get back in? He didn't even have, like, something already? Dunkelman, come on.
Come on. Dunkelman should team up with Billy Bush.
You can't just quit your job like that.
Yeah.
Not have any prospects.
That's amazing.
By the way, that season 5, that Taylor Hicks one, also featured Kelly Pickler, Chris Daughtry, and Catherine McPhee.
Catherine McPhee.
She's doing well. She's doing Broadway.
Actress. Yeah. She's in Waitress right now on Broadway.
Yeah.
And is in that show where the smart people.
Scorpion.
Yeah. I can't believe you got it from that. I was going to say smart people defuse bombs.
Much that's like my lecture. We watch the NCIS, and that's the other main.
Show. Yeah. Is that show still on?
No, Scorpion got canceled.
Oh, it got canceled. Oh. That's why she's doing Broadway.
She's doing Broadway.
I always liked
Daughtry's
her.
Daughtry's got Daughtry.
Pickler. She's the Pickler.
She's somewhere.
I remember when she showed up.
She's the host of, like, I believe the morning show on CMT or something. They like,
is she? Oh, good for her.
Like a Good Morning America.
She was. I always liked her. I thought she was cute and really stupid, and I liked her. And you remember when she came back the next season after her season? She came back, you know, because they bring from last season to perform this tonight is going to be the Pickler, and she got a boob job. And she was like seriously like two cup sizes bigger than she was the last time. And I remember Seacrest made like a comment. Did you watch it, Dan?
I didn't. I had heard about it, though.
Seacrest, she got like, it was ridiculous. It was like she was a B and she went to a D. There's no question about it. And she comes and she's wearing like a low cut thing. They're all pushed up.
Yeah.
And so
I can spend all that money and hide them.
Exactly. I'm not gonna spend all the money and hide them.
This is the point.
So I can't remember what Seacrest says. So what's been going on in your life? And then he like looked at her boobs.
Seacrest.
And then she's like, what do you mean?
He's so creepy.
Seacrest. He is. And
like, you know, you don't got to point it out, Seacrest. We get it.
Well, you know that he's been accused of some stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, at the Oscars, the red carpet on nobody went to him.
Because they probably know. It's like, we know, Seacrest, you're a creepazoid.
I wish Dunkelman were here instead of you.
Right?
Dunkelman
would... Oh, and then Dunkelman's sweeping up, and he goes, oh.
Look at this guy. The sexual predator has got a job, and I'm Dunkelman. I have American Dunkelman, and I'm pitching that.
That's a terrible name, by the way. American Dunkelman.
It is.
Or, yeah.
Oh, man.
I think that's where he went wrong. First off, bad.
Right.
Bad show name.
All right. How y'all doing? Yeah, Taylor Hicks. I got gray hair even though I'm 27.
You know, people can gray.
I know, but that was like his thing. They made a big deal out of
it. But he also just looked old.
He did. And he was like, when they said, I can't remember how old he was when he did. He was in his 30s when he did.
Yeah.
He looked like he was in his 50s.
Yeah, he's one of those, like, you're old. You look old. You know those people, though, they're like, I'm 25. I'm like, ooh, you don't look it.
Okay, but these are debut performances. Is that what we were talking about? We were doing
people who look old.
People who look old. Dunkelman. No, Dunkelman looks his age. All right. 219 area code says debut Sandy Dennis and Up the Downstairs. 224 area code says Angelina Jolie and Hackers.
Oh, that movie's so good.
I know. You love it. I don't think that was her first movie, though.
No. She, Firefox? Fox?
Yeah,
Fire?
Foxfire.
Yeah.
She was in that. And I think at some point she appeared in a couple of John Voight movies, like as a kid.
Yeah. She was in some, I don't know what it was, made for TV movies, but I can see her young.
But I remember Foxfire for sure, because she made a big impression on me in that movie.
She's like a teenager.
Yeah. That was a good movie, too. I like that movie. 630 area could pretty much the entire cast of Dazed and Confused. It's a good point. It was McConaughey's first movie. That was his first movie. I don't know. I mean, there were some people who had been in other movies before.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of those people went on. 847 area code says John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever was not his first movie. Not his
favorite.
Wasn't
he in Carrie?
He was in Carrie. You want to see some fantastic Travolta? Would you like to see Travolta melt?
Oh, like his
like
body
literally
just...
melt?
Oh, sure.
Devil's Reign.
Okay. I was just hoping he'd be really precious about something.
And he just,
like a puppy shows up and just goes, oh.
It's just an hour-long video.
No, it's not that kind of melting. It's like literal melting, like his body melts.
Wow.
It's called The Devil's Reign.
Mm-hmm.
And Ernest Borgnine is in it. And it's about...
Is Ernest Borgnine? Oh, he's in everything.
Yeah. He should be.
He's like the Samuel L. Jackson.
He was Ernest Borgnine. He was the king. That
269
guy was the best.
Lets us know Taylor Hicks is now on the Food Channel.
Oh, good for him.
He is? I watch the Food Channel. What the hell is he on? That's one of my frequent channels that I watch.
Well, apparently you've been missing it.
State Plates.
What?
State Plates is the show.
State Plates.
Yeah.
It's on the Food Network or the Cooking
Channel? It's probably one of those.
Is it Food Network?
That happens on a Sunday night.
Yeah, that's Sunday morning or something like that.
Like, what's that show that the Double Dare guy used to do?
Unwrapped.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those where it comes on real late at night.
He's a honcho at the Food Network. Like, he's a major player at the Food Network.
Well, he gave himself a crappy hosting gig. He could have done
any of them. We're going to show you how to make taffy.
Yeah, you could have picked something else.
Well, he's executive producer, and he's like a head honcho. He got in on the on the ground level at Food Network, and
like he could have hosted, I don't know, Food Iron Chef or something.
Well, he shows up on some of the shows like as a judge now. Mm. Like he'll pop up on like Guy's Grocery Games or something. He'll pop up on that.
How does he even do anything?
Or on Chopped, he sometimes is a judge on
How
Chopped.
How does he do that with his issues?
Phobia. I don't know.
Because everyone's touching stuff.
Yeah.
I would be all like, right, I know
we have to break, but we have a clarification. It's not the Food Network. It is a network about food that's debuting this fall called INSP, or I-N-S-P, short for Inspire.
Oh, okay. Just like other, like it's a channel.
It's a new food and travel show.
I have to say, what we need is a new Food and Channel Network.
So wait.
There aren't enough of them.
So wait, you can get him on.
Let's get Taylor Hicks on. I want to show you how to barbecue.
Because I'm assuming state plates means plates of each state.
Each state, so he'll come here to Illinois.
More
than likely.
Promote his thing, and then you can see how old he is in person.
You look old. Shut up and eat. All right.
Sure,
do you know what happened to Jennifer Aniston's nose?
Call up Taylor Hicks's people now.
I'm going to go visit. I'm on a Food Channel now. Where's Paula Deen?
Did he even have an accent? I don't think he did.
Did he? I don't know.
He might have had like a slight, but...
I need a stick of butter. Where's Paula Deen?
I think Clay Aiken had an even worse accent.
I'm going to visit Dunkelman when I'm on the road. All right. We have to break here for weather and traffic. How did this happen? Oh, because somebody said to Jennifer Hudson in the Dream Girls movie.
Yes.
All right. Here's your forecast.
Half hour ago.
Extra hour, Dan.
Oh.
It's Wild Card Wednesday, and I was just looking up at the screen there in the sports department, and Dave's face lit up, and he perked up. That's your favorite show.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I did. It was something that struck a chord with me.
Right.
Yeah, I remembered it. And I think when it came up on your show right before we left the old place.
That's right, because we were down in the showcase, and you came in and actually sang the lyrics that you remembered.
To the best of my ability.
Well, it sounded just like what we heard.
Rather similar.
Glenn requested It's About Time, and that was for you, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We were talking about breakthrough performances in movies, the first movies, but then we just started talking about Taylor Hicks and his new show.
it might be a breakthrough performance.
State plates,
I guess. Yeah,
man, we're going to get some state plates.
They're all about commemorative state plates.
And then we're going to pick up, in my next series, is going to be spoon plates. We're going to get spoons from every state.
Oh.
I'm Taylor Hicks. All right. Where's Dunkelman? He would have probably been more successful if his name was Dunkelberry, don't you think?
I think more jokes would have been made.
Esmeralda, somebody wants you to, you know, since you don't like the title American Dunkelman, you should really use your catchphrase.
It's true. No, that's mine. I've copyrighted.
I know.
That's what I see.
She wanted you to use it on that.
Oh, I'm not a Oregon grinding monkey. I say it when I
am paid.
It's trash.
All right, there you go. Here are some first time acting performances that people would like to mention. 331 area code. Amy Adams and June Bug. That's a good one. I don't know if that was her first movie, but she was great in that movie. Really, she got nominated for that too, if I'm not mistaken. It's 708 area code. Ralph Macchio in The Outsiders. Okay. 331 area code. Heather Matarazzo for Welcome to the Dollhouse. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great, great movie. Peter Indicator says, I know I'm late to the party, but this was before I read and paid attention to the credits. It was the mid-60s, and I went to see Kartorum, starring Charlton Heston and this guy named Laurence Olivier. I knew Heston, but I wonder who this guy was playing the nomadic ruler. Later, I found out it was none other than Larry. Interesting, I later found out my dad met George Eastman on his boat, and the same George Eastman would later found Eastman Kodak.
Wow.
And then the daughter of the Eastman Kodak company would marry Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Steve says, what about Don Johnson in the Herod experiment? He was in A Boy and His Dog. You ever see that movie, post-apocalyptic movie with him walking around with a dog? It's a sci-fi movie?
No.
It was early. It was 70s.
Yeah.
So it's Don Johnson. And then 708 Eric says, how about Jim Carrey and Once Bitten?
Oh, yeah.
Once Bitten. Vampire.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was an awful movie. I'll tell you what he was great in, though, that was an early role for him, was Earth Girls Are Easy.
Mm, yeah.
Which is a tremendous
movie. That's a funny
one. That's a great movie. The great Julie Brown wrote that movie. Not Hubba Wubba Wubba Wubba,
yeah.
But the other one, the prom girl.
Downtown.
Prom queen. Yeah, not Downtown. Not The Grind. No, she didn't host The Grind. It was the guy
from... Downtown Julie. She did Club MTV.
Club MTV. The Grind was the dude from Real World.
Yes, Eric Nies.
Eric Nies, exactly. All right. We'll talk all about Taylor Hicks again tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Oh, good.
Okay, something to look forward to. All right, we'll take a break. News is next.